Manasquan School District Board of Education meeting, September 25th, 2012. Call to order, opening statement pursuant to New Jersey Administrative Code, Title 10, Chapter 4, Subchapter 10. Notice of this meeting has been provided by publication in the Asbury Park Press and the Co-Star and posted in the Borough Hall of Manasquan and in the schools within the time limits prescribed by law. Would you please rise and join me for the Pledge Allegiance?
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Roll call, Mrs. Hahn.
Mrs. Barnes?
Yes.
Mr. Bauer? Mr. Campbell?
Here.
Mr. Clayton?
Here.
Mrs. Dignan Spang?
Here.
Ms. DePalma?
Here.
Mr. Fury?
Here.
Ms. LaSala?
Here.
Mr. Shelton?
Here.
Mrs. Verdi?
Here.
Mrs. Walsh?
Here.
Mr. Wintersteller?
Here.
We have a quorum.
Mr. Bauer, just a bit of housekeeping is coming. He just may be a few minutes late. Mission statement. Manasquan School District's mission statement is to empower students to reach their potential and become lifelong learners. We strive to ensure that students play an active role in their education, are guided by rigorous academic standards, aligned to the New Jersey core curriculum content standards, and function within a community that regards students, educators, and parents as full participants in the educational process. We dedicate ourselves to the realization of a supportive learning environment that nurtures growth, personal integrity, and mutual respect. Statement to the public. Oftentimes, it may appear to members of our audience that the Board of Education takes action with very little comment, and in many cases by unanimous vote. Before a matter is placed on the agenda at a public meeting, the administration has thoroughly reviewed the matter with the superintendent of schools. If the superintendent of schools is satisfied that the matter is ready to be presented to the Board of Education, it is then referred to the appropriate board committee. The members of the board committee work with the administration and the superintendent of schools to assure that the members fully understand the matter. When the committee is satisfied with the matter, it's presented to the Board of Education for discussion before any final action is taken. Only then is it placed on the agenda for action at a public meeting. In rare instances, matters are presented to the Board of Education for discussion at the same meeting that final action may be taken. May I have a motion to approve the acceptance of minutes for 092501?
So moved.
Thank you, Mr. Campbell.
Second.
Thank you, Mrs. Walsh. Discussion? Roll call.
Mrs. Barnes?
Yes.
Mr. Campbell?
Yes.
Mr. Clayton? Mrs. Dignan Spang?
No to the 21st. I wasn't here, and yes to the 28th.
Okay. Mrs. DePalma?
Yes.
Mr. Fury?
Yes.
Ms. LaSala?
Yes.
Mr. Shelton?
Yes.
Mrs. Verdi?
Abstain.
Mrs. Walsh?
Yes.
Mr. Wintersteller?
Yes.
Motion carried.
Okay, the audit presentation, Mrs. Hahn?
Okay, tonight, Bob Holsert joins us to present the audit. Bob Holsert, Senior. And I will let you move ahead from here.
Thank you, Frank. I'd like to first of all say that the books and records were in excellent condition. Everything was complete in proof. There were no compliance issues, and it really was a pleasure, as usual, to work on them. So I think Peggy and her staff should be complimented. I would just like to take a minute to explain to you the report you have in front of you. You have the big report actually has four sections to it, one of which is the introductory section, which is prepared by the Board of Education itself with their aims and accomplishments. The financial section, which we prepare and we certify to, the statistical section, which has various statistics on things like population, fund balances, expenditures, and so forth, and the single audit section. And let me take a minute to explain what that is. The regulations state that if you have more than $500,000 of federal aid and or $500,000 of state aid and grants, you're subject to single audit. And single audit means that there are specific requirements and how you must audit it, and it's a separate certification. In Manasquan's case, you're subject to single audit for both. You have more than $500,000 in federal, more than $500,000 in state. And so that section in the back, you'll note, has separate certifications. And again, we had absolutely no problems. Everything was in order as it should be. Let's go back to the financial section for a minute. There is if you look at the actual statements, there are statements that are in line with the school accounting in which you are interested because it has the fund balances and things that you work with. There's a front section, the A statements, which is a conversion to GASB 34, which is an AICPA requirement, and really it brings in things like long-term debt, depreciation, fixed assets, things that really don't concern you because you're a nonprofit organization. Depreciation is basically a tax situation. So I would ignore those portions. And actually, the key statement in here for your purposes is C1. And that's the statement of revenues and expenditures. And actually, that tells you what you actually accomplished in the past year. And if we just take a look at that for a minute, and I just want to briefly point out a couple of things to you.
Peg, do you have that page?
67 is the end of it.
67, 68 has the summary. But basically on 67, you'll note that you started the year with a fund balance of $1,942,000, and you ended the year with $2,203,000. So you had a slight increase. But let's look at the what makes up that fund balance, because I think that's something that there, a lot of times there's confusion. And on page 68 of the report, it shows you exactly how the balance, what it's allocated to. And you see in the first section, we say restricted fund balance. And that means that these balances are restricted for certain uses. You have capital reserve, emergency reserve, tuition reserve, and excess surplus. And those items must be used for the designated, how they're designated. The emergency reserve is for emergency situations. The tuition reserve, in your case, where you have a lot of sending districts, is a reserve to cushion the impact of the tuition adjustments that you get in later years. So those monies are restricted to those uses. Then the next section, we have assigned fund balance, and these have already been designated for subsequent year's expenditures, the subsequent year's expenditures excess surplus. Again, keep in mind that the excess surplus must be spent in the following year. Designated for maintenance reserve. These are items that you're taking out of the reserve and using because you have maintenance requirements. And tuition reserve, and you're taking money out again from the tuition reserve to cover the items that I spoke of. And the last is the unassigned fund balance, and that's what you're allowed to keep. It's the 2% that you're allowed to keep for your own purposes. And that really is the only part of the balance that's available for use other than the specific purposes from which the other items were designated. And then you see that reconciliation merely is a reconciliation to the front part. It really doesn't concern you, but what it is, it's the receivable on the state aid that you didn't get and you get in July and August. And when you convert to the full accrual basis, they don't consider that, so that's deducted. But the figure that you're working with is the ones that I just discussed.
So I did do a simplified analysis, if you look at the base sheet, and I left some on the table as well. If you look at the balance that we ended, $2,203,715, we already, yes. Yes, this one is. Yes, most definitely. The $2,203,715 was the ending balance. Now, that is the ending balance that includes all of the money that we allocated towards 12-13, because July 1st hasn't happened yet. So on July 1st, we had already allocated $213,684 from surplus, $136,160 from surplus, maintenance reserve of $850,000, and tuition reserve of $150,000. So the true fund balance is $853,871. Now, if you look at the next section, undesignated reserves, $4,628 of that is in capital reserve. $50,000, as Bob said, is in emergency reserve. Tuition reserve will be designated for next year, 13-14, which is $125,500. And then which totals $181,28. And then we have an undesignated fund balance of $673,743, which also, again, totals the $853,871. And if you look at the undesignated fund balance, people will question, where did that number come from? So when you look below, I did a breakdown of the undesignated fund balance. It's the 2% based on our true expenditures at the end of the year last year, which is $456,430. And we're allowed to adjust for extraordinary aid, the difference in extraordinary aid budgeted and the extraordinary aid that we actually received, non-public transportation aid, and what is reserved as excess fund balance, which must be used next year in 13-14. And that gives you $673,743. So we already have two of the things out of the $853,871 designated for 13-14 before we even begin the 13-14 budget.
Peg, the maintenance reserve to 2012-13, on the upper portion, the 850, that is for the roofs, correct?
The 850, yes, paid for the roofs. And the fund balance basically paid for the boilers at the elementary school.
And I might add that there is specific requirements when you've had new construction as to maintenance, monies that you must put aside for maintenance to ensure that the construction doesn't deteriorate. And the reason for the allowable adjustments on the extraordinary aid and the non-public transportation aid is the fact that you don't get those until after the end of the year. One comes in July and one comes in August of the following year. And that's why they allow you to hold on to that for 1 year. But
And at times they've talked about not having the programs any longer for extraordinary aid. So we never budget, we don't budget low, but we don't budget high, because we really never know until the end of the year what we're going to receive, if anything.
So basically, that's just an overview that I wanted to give you. I'd be happy to answer any questions or discuss anything that you might like to.
Let's take questions from the board first, and Peg, if it's okay for Bob, I'd like to open up the floor to let the public ask questions specifically to the audit, if we could do that mm-hmm. while Mr. Holsart's here. Would that
sure.
be okay with everybody?
Absolutely.
Okay, if we could go from the board first, any questions? Okay. Are we good with that?
Fine.
Okay. I'd like to open up the floor at this time if anybody has questions specific to the audit while the auditor is here. Just come up, state your name, your address, and your question. Mr. Bartholomew? You may. Okay, seeing no one else?
Can you stay a little bit, just in case he has a question?
Pardon?
Do you want to stay a little bit?
If you like me to.
Might as well, just in case it's an order.
What was that, Peg?
I just asked Bob if he was staying or going,
okay.
because if he has additional questions.
Okay, very good. May I have a motion, 092502, recommend approval to accept the audit. May I have a motion?
So be.
Thank you, Pat. Second, thank you, Mr. Campbell. Discussion? Roll call.
Okay, Mr. Campbell?
Yes.
Mr. Clayton? Mrs. DePalma?
Yes.
Mrs. LaSalle?
Yes.
Mr. Shelton?
Yes.
Mrs. Verdi?
Yes.
Mrs. Walsh?
Yes.
Mr. Wintersstelling?
Yes.
Carried.
Okay, do we have superintendent's report?
Yes. Three items. The first item has to do with the enrollment report. Actually, the comparative enrollment report and the breakout that we do is usually done at the end of the month. However, because this is the start of the school year, people are interested in what's happening with the enrollment. We did a comparison between 11 and 12, settling on a date, a similar date, last September compared to this September, which shows a decline of 83 students on spread over K through 3. I noticed, too, in looking at some previous enrollments in previous years, there has been a very slight decline. 83 is more than just a slight decline. It's
K through 3 or K through 12?
Excuse me, did I say 3?
You just scared me to death. No. You fell off the chair.
Pre-K through 12. But the figures, we will have more accurate figures, more definitive figures, not accurate, but more definitive figures come the next public meeting, because by then we will be comparing the end of the month statistics and we'll see what they look like. Document B is the suspension, bus, and fire drill report, and we have no suspensions. We did have fire drills. There were fire drills. We're required to have a fire drill within the first 10 days, I think, of school, as well as an evacuation drill. Both of those drills were held in each of the two schools. The HIB report, document C, the last week when we met, we had not had an incident, an HIB incident reported. We do have one which was reported earlier this week. That incident was investigated, and it was found to be not a really a harassment, intimidation, or bullying event, but an event between two very young children in the elementary school, which was handled by the school administration. And that concludes the items on my summary there. Michelle?
Okay. Any questions from the board? Mr. Fury?
Yes, sir.
Bob, when will we have the breakdown by sending districts?
At the next meeting. I did a rough one just to get an idea of it, but you know, in the beginning of the year, it fluctuates quite a bit, so you really get a better view when you take a look at the whole month.
Great, thank you.
Any other questions?
Yeah.
May I have a motion to approve 092503?
So moved.
Thank you, Mrs. Verdi. May I have a second?
Second.
Thank you, Mr. Campbell. Roll call.
Mrs. Barnes?
Yes.
Mr. Campbell?
Yes.
Mr. Clayton?
Yes.
Mrs. Degnan-Stein?
Yes.
Mrs. DePalma?
Yes.
Mr. Fury?
Yes.
Mrs. LaSalle?
Yes.
Mr. Shelton?
Yes.
Mrs. Verdi?
Yes.
Mrs. Walsh?
Yes.
Mr. Wintersstelling?
Yes.
Motion carried.
Okay, public comment on the agenda. Time may be allocated for public comment at this meeting. Each speaker may be allotted a limited time when recognized by the presiding officer. Individuals wishing to address the board shall be recognized by the presiding officer and shall give their names, addresses, and the group, if any, that they represent. Although the board encourages public participation, it reserves the right through its presiding officer to terminate remarks to and/or by any individual, not keeping with the conduct of a proper and efficient meeting. During the public participation portions of this meeting, the board will not respond to questions from the public involving employment, appointment, termination of employment, negotiations, terms and conditions of employment, evaluation of the performance of, promotion or disciplining of any specific or prospective or current employee. This public forum is limited to comments on items included on the agenda only. Let the record reflect that Mr. Bauer has joined us. And if any member of the public wish to make a statement or comment, come to the microphone and give us your name and address.
Hi, Dick Meinke, 36 Milton Falling. I'm surprised by the big drop in both the elementary and the high school students. Is there a reason for each one?
Not necessarily a reason for each one. What I plan to do is, there is a sending district meeting that's held monthly.
And it's a topic that I plan to discuss with some of the superintendents from the sending districts to get a feel from them, on the high school level at least, as to what is happening to the enrollment or what's causing it to get down. With the elementary enrollment, it's less really of a fluctuation. It's an ebb and flow of people coming and people going, which is not uncommon. Our enrollment, the community is pretty much of a built-out community, so therefore the enrollment, you would expect the enrollment to be more steady than it is. I'll make some effort to get a determination in talking to the administrators as to what they see trending with changes with kids leaving the school. We do ask people when they leave to give us a reason as to why they're leaving. Oftentimes, most frequently, it's because they're leaving the community, they're moving out. But if there's another pattern there that we should be looking at, we certainly will take a look at that.
Is there any pattern from the sending district? Do they have the eligible kids to come here, but they're sending them to some other school rather than Manasquan?
There is a little bit of, excuse me.
I can answer that somewhat.
Go right ahead.
Brielle has probably the largest number of students that we're sending here, but when I'm looking at the trends in Manasquan's elementary, they're very similar to what's in Brielle Elementary.
Mm-hmm.
And truth is, our class sizes are going down. Our natality rate in Brielle, we know, is lower. We know where kindergartens are lower at this point, that we are actually getting smaller at the lower grades and decreasing in numbers. It's just trends.
Mm-hmm.
Why the junior class here this year, I think we sent almost 97 kids here that year. It was our largest class ever, and we pay per student, so we keep track of that very carefully. Our classes are going down, but it's really just a trend in the population in our town. You know, we went from a building of 450 to almost over 700 in a very short period of time because we had a baby boom, and Manasquan did a similar thing. I know, being the town next door, we just have less kids. It's just, you know, with the real estate trends, the natality numbers, and we know that next year our kindergarten class will be even lower, and we're decreasing the number of faculty members at the lower grade levels each year to compensate for those lower numbers coming in, just in the trends.
I hope we don't lose any more good athletes.
Anybody else comment on the agenda? Any other comments? Okay, seeing no one, will close the floor. If it's okay with the board, I'd like to group 0925 and 04 through 0925-09 together for one vote. Does anybody want anything singled out from those items? May I have a motion to approve 0925-04 through 0925-09?
So moved.
Thank you, Mr. Winterstella. Second. Thank you, Mr. Campbell. Roll call.
Mr. Bauer?
Yes.
Mr. Campbell?
Yes.
Mr. Clayton? Mrs. DePalma?
Yes.
Mrs. LaSala?
Yes.
Mr. Shelton?
Yes.
Mrs. Verdi?
Michelle, I raised my hand.
I'm sorry.
That's okay, but Peg caught my eye. A yes to everything else with the exception of 0925-04, yes to 2 and 3, abstain from 1.
You're going to have to repeat that.
Yeah,
okay,
sorry.
Yeah.
Abstain number 1. Yes to everything else.
Yes. So it's only on 04, number 1.
That's it.
Okay. Mrs. Walsh?
Yes.
Mr. Winterstella?
Yes.
Okay, if it pleases the board, if the board's agreeable, I'd like to table 0925-10, which is the adoption of Manasquan School District board goal. I'm sorry, that's the wrong one. We can do this one. I'm sorry. 0925-10, may I have a motion to approve?
So moved.
Thank you, Mrs. Walsh. May I have a second?
Second.
Thank you, Mrs. Verdi. Discussion? Roll call.
Mr. Bauer?
Yes.
Mr. Campbell?
Yes.
Mr. Clayton? Mrs. DePalma?
Yes.
Ms. LaSala?
Yes.
Mr. Shelton?
Yes.
Mrs. Verdi?
Yes.
Mrs. Walsh?
Yes.
Mr. Wintersteller?
Yes.
Carry.
Okay, I would like to table 092511, which is the recommended approval of our Manasquan Board of Education goals. I was able to hear from several board members. I was not very available this week to reach out to others, and I think that to do this correctly, and I think we can get it accomplished by our next work session, and I'd like to push it to our next, our October meetings, if that's agreeable to everybody. Okay? May I have a motion to approve 092512? I'd like to group that with 092518. Would anybody like anything pulled out? May I have a motion to approve 092512 through 092518?
So be.
Thank you, Mr. Campbell. May I have a second?
Second.
Thank you, Mrs. Walsh. Roll call.
Mr. Bauer?
Yes.
Mr. Campbell?
Yes.
Mr. Clayton? Mrs. DePalma?
Yes.
Mrs. LaSala?
Yes.
Mr. Shelton?
Yes.
Mrs. Verdi?
Yes.
Mrs. Walsh?
Yes.
Mr. Wintersteller?
Yes.
Carry.
On the Manasquan Sending Districts in the Manasquan, I'd like to group, if I could, 092519 through 092526, unless anybody would like any items pulled out.
I have a question about that.
Which one, Linda?
Under the...
You want to just pull?
Motion, then second, then discussion.
For all of the items? So we're not pulling anything out, though? You just, you have a question on item? Okay, may I have a motion for 092519 through 092526?
So moved.
Thank you, Mrs. Walsh. May I have a second?
Second.
Thank you, Mr. Campbell. Discussion.
Under the school-sponsored events.
Which item, Linda? Which number?
Item number, well, it's on the yellow sheet, as I added.
Right, but...
So it would be for, I guess, high school personnel?
092519, document one?
This is the first one I've ever seen, the ticket sellers. And take, or is it, who, how do we...
They've been paid the same amount of money for the past several years, and it used to be in policy when we had our old policy book, but when we adopted the new policy book, it wasn't in the policy book.
Right.
So these are the same rates they've been paid for years.
And this goes for any ticket seller for any event? Is that what you're saying? What is this, is this ticket seller for the paper?
This is primarily football, but I believe if they do it for basketball, I think it would be the same.
And do you know, what are the hours involved in that? So how long, like, what does a ticket seller usually, how long would they sit taking tickets and ticket takers?
I honestly don't know.
I don't know.
Mm-mm. How long it is.
I'm just trying to figure out the pay rate.
About 2 hours, and then they have to tie it out at the end.
Yeah.
So they have to do reports.
Maybe
2.5 hours, maybe.
What was your first question? Was it contractual, or how was the rate determined? Is that
The rate has been that rate for years, and it was used to be an old board policy. But when we went to pay it, when we changed the policies, it was no longer in the policy. So we just took the same rates, put them on the personnel document that they've been paid for years. We didn't change anything.
Right, but it's determined through, like, who decides the rate?
Typically, if we can't recruit people, the athletic director will recommend an increase. But they basically, if they're having no problem getting people, then they keep the rate.
And
I would say about 5 years ago, maybe we changed the rate.
And is it only personnel that can be in the, or like how do you, who can work the?
Typically, I would say it's personnel.
Just personnel. No one else is allowed to go.
I don't know.
I would say if they could not recruit somebody in personnel, then they probably
would
hire
out.
An outside source. Right. So I've seen people hired before that were not, personnel.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Mrs. Verdi?
Is this the first time we're ever approving this, or have we done this in the past? Because I don't ever remember.
It was part of the board policy before, and when we changed over the policy book, that policy went by the wayside. That's why, it was in the old policy book, and when payroll brought it to my attention, then it was no longer in board policy and hadn't been approved on an agenda. We put it on an agenda for approval.
Did you have a question, Mr.
Clayton? Yeah, I just have a question on security. What is that?
No, we pay in addition to the police, but usually people walking around the fields, just if there's anything going on with kids and just keeping things. It could be any staff member, depending on the game. Usually people that are familiar with the children that would attend the game.
Is that principals?
Teachers.
They don't get paid.
Not the
principals don't get paid.
No administrators, just teachers usually.
Mrs. Verdi?
Yeah. Ms. Tom, you said that if we don't have staff that are willing to volunteer for this paid position, then we do open it up?
I believe there was a couple times where they've hired somebody outside, but I would say it's typically staff.
It is typically, because that just concerns me immensely, that if we do have to outsource, I'm assuming that because there are children on our premises, it's somebody that has gotten all prints and whatever it is that we do here as a district.
I would imagine that it is. It's usually probably a volunteer coach or somebody that's been around the children before, but I, you know, I can check that with Mr. Cornegay, you know. So, I would say more commonly though it's staff.
Okay.
Any other questions? Roll call.
Mrs. Barnes?
Yes.
Mr. Bauer?
Yes.
Mr. Campbell?
Yes.
Mr. Clayton?
Yes.
Mrs. Degnan Spang?
Yes.
Ms. DePalma?
Yes.
Mr. Fury?
Yes.
Ms. LaSala?
Yes.
Mr. Shelton?
Yes.
Mrs. Walsh?
Yes.
Mr. Winnestowe?
Yes.
Carrie.
Okay. Old new business. I have one item I'd like to start with, and I just want to make the board aware that I've appointed board members Mark Fury and Mike Shelton to work with the district's technology director after speaking with Mr. Mahan. They'll be working with Jesse Place as he begins the process of developing the school's 2 to 3 year technology plan. Mr. Fury and Mr. Shelton will provide periodic updates to the board and the public as they progress. I also have a matter that I would like to address. Well, let me do this first. Does anybody have old new business from the board? Mrs. Verdi?
I wanted to acknowledge a letter that I found in my folder last meeting. Unfortunately, it was an anonymous letter, and my heart is heavy because we're here to listen, but if you can't put a name to a letter, my hands are
I think we've discussed that before, that we can't respond to anonymous letters.
So if any
member of the public wants to weigh in on a matter, unless they do sign it, we can't.
Yeah, my hands are tied, you know.
Okay. Anything else? Okay.
I'm so sorry. I just wanted clarity on the little sidebar we had about the uniforms. I understand that new uniforms were ordered, and as I recall with some of the board members here, last year we changed the color to the darker blue, which was a little bit of a conversation, and that was the original Manasquan color a long time ago. Wonderful. We now hear that uniforms were ordered for what? Was it
elementary school?
Can we just for a second? That discussion took place before the meeting started, so I'm not even aware of what you're referring to, because there was a discussion before we actually started.
Way back when, the colors was changed of the uniform. Going forward,
in the elementary school.
I think throughout the school, and that's my question.
The high school.
High school, and apparently some of the elementary. And going forward, as the uniforms were needed, because we can't supply everybody with uniforms due to funding. We were going to go with the darker color. It seems now that uniforms were ordered, and it's not. So my question is, are we as an entire district going to have one color or various colors? Because if we just ordered uniforms, and I remember with some of my colleagues here that we changed the color, why are we ordering the old color, which I'll call royal blue?
Who changed it? When you say we changed the color, the board did?
The football, well, my understanding is that the football team brought it to Jerry's attention that the uniforms used to be dark blue.
Right.
When they brought it to Jerry's attention that the uniforms used to be dark blue and they bought uniforms, they bought dark blue. My understanding is after that, the high school is buying dark blue. Is that correct, Ron? Now, at the elementary level, though, I am not sure that the elementary went along with that. Right. So the high school was staying dark blue, but the elementary was staying with royal blue, was my understanding. But I do not, you know, as far as, it makes no difference to me whether it's dark blue or royal blue, or if you'd like the whole district one way. It's really, you know, if the board would prefer the whole district to be one color.
I really don't think that's a board policy question. Yeah. I think that is up to the administrators of the two different schools.
Okay.
And personally, I kind of think it's nice to want to grow into a new uniform at the high school
Grow into the
level.
Dark blue.
So it probably should have never been brought originally to us. last year.
Correct.
Correct.
Well, I think it was brought up because there were two different color uniforms, and we couldn't change the uniforms, everyone's uniform at one time. So I think the discussion ensued because people were seeing dark blue uniforms on high school players and royal blue uniforms on high school players. And that will take time to transition to the new color.
Right.
Yeah.
And the clarity that it should have obviously been last year is that it was really the high school, not the entire district.
But again, this would be an administrative
issue,
not ours. Any other old no? Okay. At our meeting on September 18th, I spoke to the board about a request to remove the banner located on the high school building that features a rendition of a proposal for the Warrior Athletic Field Complex, which is not moving forward in its current state at this time. Media articles written pursuant to that meeting may have given some members of the public the impression that the Board of Education does not support the efforts of the Manasquan High School Endowment Fund in their commitment to support initiatives and programs that may fall outside of the school curriculum and or aspects that will enhance the school's current programs. I wish to make it clear that nothing could be further from the truth. I've had extensive discussions with both the foundation president, Mr. Robert Schatzman, and the foundation vice president, Mrs. Anastasia Michaels, and I assured them that it was never my intention to give anyone the impression that as president of the Board of Education, I was not grateful for the efforts made by the many volunteers of the foundation. I'd also like to clear up an inaccuracy that had been reported on more than one occasion in the Coast Star articles, which I think is an innocent mistake, but board member Tom Bauer is not a member of the trustee, or is not a member, I'm sorry, or a trustee of the foundation. At no time have I or any other board member identified Mr. Bauer as such, so I just wanted to make that clarification. I have asked Mr. Schatzman to attend tonight's meeting, who again is the president of the foundation, to address any questions the board may have and also to give us a brief update on all of the wonderful opportunities the Manasquan High School Endowment and Alumni Foundation offers to the students of our district. Mr. Schatzman. Right there, if you're comfortable.
You can turn
however you want to do it.
Just turn the mic.
You can turn your back to us, Rob. That's okay.
This feels somehow
better.
Better.
Yes.
Well, Mrs. LaSala, is it even on?
I think we can all get you anyway, loud and clear.
Mrs. LaSala, thank you for inviting me, and thank you for your leadership in reaching out to myself and Michaels, and thank you for your statement. I read those articles, and I thought about a couple things that happened to parents that have children in the school. Just last week, I'm walking down the street in Manasquan, and a couple of people who I recognize, don't know their names, say, "Hey, Mark." The other one says, "Hey, Mark, your son had a great game." So I go back to the house that night, and we chuckle about that. And then after Saturday's game, my Mark says, "Dad, I was interviewed." I said, "Oh, that's great, Mark. What did the interviewer say?" First thing he said to me is, "Steve." And Mark said, no, "I'm Mark." So I kind of agree with Ms. Sala in that I think a lot of this is kind of just innocent inaccuracies is what I'd call them. Absolutely with no harm done. But when you read foundation nine times coming out of a board meeting, when the foundation isn't present, then I think it's appropriate for me certainly to come and help you clear the air in any way I can. So what I thought I'd do is just two things. I'd introduce the foundation. Certainly many of you know me. I've been in front of you before. But with our new superintendent, just take a few minutes to introduce the foundation, talk about what our activities are, and then, of course, answer any questions that anyone might have. So I'm the president, Rob Schatzman, of the foundation. And I'm happy to be here. Jeff Osborne's one of our members who's here. I think he may be the only member here. The Osbornes chased the Indians out of Manasquan. He was also the principal of Manasquan for many years. And really fun working with Jeff. Of course, Ann Michaels sat in Mrs. LaSala's seat, and she's reminded me of how tough that job can be. And again, she was grateful that you reached out to her. Longtime board member, longtime resident of Manasquan. Our secretary is Mr. Coppola. It's great to have a connection with the high school because he's able to tell us where we can help and make a difference. For example, we just hosted the class of 62's breakfast, 50-year anniversary right here, 2 weeks ago. And oftentimes, the alumni classes reach out to Mr. Coppola. They don't reach out to us. So that's a great connection for us. We have Ted Vitale, another MHS grad, actually in my class. He has his own accounting firm in Spring Lake Heights. Mike Rubino is our lawyer. He's on the staff. Trish Brown, who just recently left the BOE, is on our board. And we miss Pat Walsh. Pat was on our board. She was on your board, or on the board of Ed, was with us for a while. Our loss, your gain.
Big gain.
Thank you.
So I think I've covered the members. You know, the overall goal of the foundation simply is to, you know, try to help students in any way we can. I mean, last year we spent $10,000. So, I mean, in the kind of scheme of things, you know, it's versus a $25 million budget, it's relatively small. But half of that was for scholarships, and the other half was to bring in a speaker for the whole student body, a fellow by the name of Chris Herron, who did a fabulous job helping the kids kind of, you know, set a straight line towards the future. So those are the kind of things we have been up to, and those are our goals. Now, what we've been up to recently is we're hosting a gala, and I know most of the board knows that because we've sent you invitations, and we've received responses back. Pat, thank you. I know mm-hmm. we've gotten yours. I know some of you already told me you're sending them. So the board is well aware of the gala. It's our first inaugural gala. For members of the audience, this is to honor two outstanding families who have for decades contributed in a philanthropic way to Manasquan, Ruth and George Harms, and the Larson family. I mean, they've done some, you know, just unbelievable things. And I hope you all come to really hear and learn more about it. It's going to be October 12th. It is at the Manasquan River Golf Club, and the Tides are playing, and it's going to be a great affair. So we'd love to have you all out. And all of that money is going to scholarships. That, quite frankly, is the original goal of the foundation. When Jeff started in the early 90s, they started giving these scholarships. Kind of, for reasons I'm not too sure, kind of fell away. There was an account, but the board wasn't meeting. And then we restarted that foundation in 09. Looking at Jeff to make sure I'm accurate. In 09. The foundation, okay, so now let's turn to the field. The foundation has done little with the field. The one thing the foundation tried to do recently with the field is take down a banner. Now let me explain that a little bit. Let me first explain the banner. The banner was funded by the foundation coming out of a meeting right around Thanksgiving of 2010. That was a meeting, Tom, you'll remember. That the board agreed that we should be proactively reaching out to businesses, to families that might want to put pledges in a pot to try to raise activity and interest. And we thought, boy, what better way than to have a banner on the school for the high school football game?
Correct.
So we already had a private donor, anonymous donor, who had put some money in a pot, and we asked that donor, hey, could we use that money for this banner? So the foundation bought the banner, we put it on the field. Now, the thought process behind taking it down was simply, we had heard nothing about that project going forward. In fact, when we sent out tickets or invitations, we got some feedback back, like, oh my gosh, that could be going to the field. We were doing nothing about the field. We didn't think you were doing anything about the field. So we simply tried to take down the banner. But I think one of the benefits that might have come out of this, particularly after reading those articles, was that I think there's been this sense that the foundation has had a far more pervasive role as it relates to very important decisions about the field than we've really had. And if there's any conspiracy theorists out there that think that, I can only tell you, we couldn't even take down a bat. So it's just an example of really the power is rested where it should be. And quite frankly, it's always been. It's always been, in my mind, and Tom, I mean, you're shaking your head, so you agree. Jeff, I mean, the power has always been resided with the Board of Ed in terms of really what you want to do about the field. when there's been, I've often said this to people, because, you know, because I was involved in another aspect of it, which I'm happy to talk about, you would say, how are things going with fundraising? And I simply say, well, there's that saying, no news is good news. If you don't want the field, no news is good news, because the board is going to have to tell you what they're doing. If you're for the field, then no news is bad news, because there isn't anything going on. And that's kind of the way I've thought about it. If there was activity, if there was something that the foundation could help with, or that Warrior Athletic Committee could help, we would hear about it. If nothing was being said, there was nothing going on, meaning that very important decisions that we raised and other people raised, the board is still considering. I mean, the best analogy I can draw, because I think it's sometimes helpful just to think about it in terms of, you know, your own household. You think about trying to build an addition to your house. And you've talked to architects, you've gotten estimates, you might have talked to some bankers. You've really, you talked to your neighbors about it because it's going to be expanding your house in some certain way. And for whatever reason, the owners have chosen not to go forward. They've simply stood down. So all of those people that might help them, general contractors, etc., they just stand down. They just stand. They haven't gone away. The decision hasn't been finalized. It's simply just been stood down, much like a family who thinks about putting on an addition, does a lot of work, but then for whatever reason, and it's their decision, so it's their reason, they've stood down. And that's how I've thought about it. Maybe I'll just end there, because I think I covered most of the points, but if there's any questions, I would be happy to take them.
Any questions from the board?
I just want to say there does come a time, though, when that family wants to restart that addition.
Yeah, and that family's
right?
Here. That family's sitting at this table right now.
Right here. Well, I'm glad you said that. I'm glad you said that. Because,
one way or another.
Because I don't want to put words in anyone's mouth, but I think something that came out of last week, which I wasn't there, is, well, we want to know who paid for the banner. Well, the foundation paid for the banner, and in the spirit of welcoming our superintendent, we'd like to, at this meeting, formally give the banner.
That answers the question. I guess it's staying.
Congratulations.
That's a welcoming gift on behalf of the endowment to our new superintendent. Right.
Thank you.
You're very welcome. You're absolutely very welcome.
Did you take it down so we can put it back up?
I learned one thing, man. You can't touch anything without the board of ed here. You can't. I'm telling you. You guys are all over.
Well, Mr. Bauer.
I would really like to take this opportunity to, you know, Rob kind of indicated that he hasn't done much in a certain aspect of this, but to the contrary, Rob has worked very hard over the past several years, 2-3 years even. I think it goes, boy, it's longer than I thought it was. But he has put a lot of time into attempting to raise money to get this field project underway through the foundation and through the Warrior Athletic Committee. It has not been very successful, and that's not to discredit him.
Yeah, I would just say differently than not successful. From my old days on Wall Street, I'd spin it just a little bit differently. I would say that we went out and talked to a lot of businesses, and we talked to a lot of families who care a lot about Manasquan, mm-hmm. who want to help get something done. But they also were, they had their business hat on. For example, businesses wanted to know, will there be naming rights on the concession? Would the concession stand? For example, Jersey Mike's concession. If there is, what are the terms of that contract? What is the school offering? That's a commercial transaction. That's not a donation. That has to be a commercial transaction that the board decides, yes, we'll allow Jersey Mike's name on the concession stand for whatever the term. It might be an amount per year. It might be a one. But that's something that was feedback I thought that was helpful. Another piece of feedback that I thought the board acted upon was everybody who sees this wants it to be multi-use. Multi-use, has to be multi-use. You know, Ron was on this Warrior Athletic Committee. Mm-hmm. He took that. He looked at rescheduling. He could see when, during a week, a boys or girls soccer team could play and still allow the football team. So there were some things that the board could really kind of move forward. There were other things. I think one of the big ones right now still is, initially, when we went out, baseball was going to be at Municipal. In fact, that season, baseball played at Municipal. Mm-hmm. Now, people who love baseball will judge that field, and people who want bottom line was there was a lot of pushback on taking away a field to include a track. It was not a, we're taking something away. And there was feedback. The board heard it, not just from the Warrior Athletic Committee. They heard it from, there were, you know, citizens who were just saying, look, I like coming to see a baseball game here, you know, in town. So there still, I think, is an answer. You know, there's still, in the design aspect of this, there has to be a definitive answer about baseball. Now, there were about 12 of these, and I'm not going to keep going, but I just think it gives some flavor of the fact that intelligence, important intelligence, in terms of if you chose to pick it up and running, you know these are some of the big issues.
You know, I would like to also just say, Rob, and right now this board currently has 8 new faces out of the 12 that were here when your organization had started this process. And I think going forward, many of us have spoken, and we realize that this is a project that really needs to be driven by the school district, and that the school district should be looking at donations from your group as being generous in assistance, but not relying on any private funding to fund something of this magnitude in its entirety. I think if we're ever going to see real physical results of something, you know, that's, in my opinion, I think, so, and I know some of the board members, I'm speaking for the whole board, but I think that's the direction that we are looking to pursue going forward with this. So, again, I am grateful to the foundation, and if I gave any impression otherwise, I do apologize for that.
No, thank you. Thank you very much. Thank you for having me here.
Anybody, any questions from...
project that's hanging on the school. It was well long. I mean, Tom, you might comment on when the initial work was being done on that, because when I saw it, it was really living thing.
It was. Yeah. It's been, it's got to be 6-7 years since we started conceptualizing an improvement to a facility that drastically needs it.
Great.
We started years ago.
Great.
I started long before I was a board member. Yep. Long before, as a just a volunteer.
So at some point, there was a Warrior Field Committee, because we had a lot of great talent from the community. We had CFO from Harms Construction, Gary Avedrabo. We had numerous people coming in to say, hey, how can we help?
Mm-hmm.
Where I got involved for the Warrior Field Committee was in the summer of, 2010, where you all had gotten to a point where you said, gosh, we'd really like to talk seriously about how we could fund this. And there were a number of people, Mark Letty, I remember, was one of them that was involved.
Sure. There were probably a dozen folks involved.
Yeah. The only connection between that group and the foundation was me. And the foundation wanted to help in a limited way because the foundation has a broader mandate. You know, I mean, and I've talked about some of the things we do. But it's a much broader mandate than the field. And there was a question about, if people do want to give cash, you know, where could they put it? We said, well, look, we'll set up an account. You know, we'll do that. There was a video that was made. There was a question, where could the video be? We said, well, we'll put the video on our website, but quite honestly, the foundation never, if I had to give you kind of a percentage of time spent in our foundation meetings about the field, it would be less than 5%. Versus this Warrior Athletic Committee, which is doing, I think, the bulk of the work, if I say that correctly.
That's correct. Yeah.
Okay, any questions from the board? Mr. Schatzman, thank you very much. Appreciate
welcome,
it.
Mr.
Thank
Michelle.
You for the banner.
Again,
quite welcome.
Personally, I want to thank you very much for all the work you've done. I really do appreciate it. Yeah. And don't go away. You're still helping us.
Oh, thank you.
Yeah, congratulations.
Yeah.
Before we finish old new business, if we could, Mr. Bauer arrived late. I think you wanted to give a brief update, Tom.
I can certainly
miss the report
do that, yes.
Section.
Yes, I'd be glad to.
Oh, sure, Mr. Osborne.
It wasn't the Indians. It was the British. Ask John.
So they claim.
Right.
Mr. Bauer.
Yeah, very briefly, I didn't have a chance to put anything in writing, but as of early this morning, it's been a long day, at 7 a.m. this morning, I met with
As a representative of Building Grounds Committee, I met with Mrs. Hom and Bernie Bigley, our facilities director, as well as Mike Shelton from our finance committee and President LaSala. We met here this morning, and the purpose of our visit was to tour the schools, really to complete the visit that Mike and I had started several weeks ago that you are all familiar with. And we did tour the facilities, both the high school and the elementary school, inside and partially outside, and there's still a little bit more to do. But we had a very good walk, and what we did is we came up with a, as was our initial goal, we came up with a list of, a long list, really a laundry list of items, both physical improvements as well as maintenance issues, some aesthetic items, some landscape issues, a whole list that we will be reviewing with Building and Grounds and with the Finance Committee as well to see how we can prioritize all those items and then attack those in the future and establish them as part of our budgeting process as we go forward. So there are issues that we would like to address. We identified many today. It was a very good couple of hours spent. So that aside, I will also give you an update on the boiler system for the elementary school is 99% complete. There are a few odds and ends that need to be finished. In fact, this week after school hours, the contractor hopes to fire it up, and if all goes well, it will be successful, and we will have heat in the elementary school, I think at a good time as it's starting to get a little chilly this week. So that's a positive. The rooftop of the elementary, of the high school directly above us is again 98-99% complete. There is some slate tiles that need to be, a row of slate tiles still need to be installed at the base of the original part of the high school, and there's a small amount of flashing that needs to be installed around the perimeter of the parapet. And after that, we'll have a final punch list by our architect here, final punch list by our engineer across the street for the boilers, and we'll be in good shape. So, and both projects are just about up to the completion of their scheduled period of time.
Absolutely.
Correct? So we're in good shape with both projects, and more coming.
Okay, so two points on that one. Mr. Bauer, thank you. Mm-hmm. Mrs. Hom does have minutes from our tour that she will attach to the minutes of this meeting, so they will be available for the public when the minutes are approved and for the rest of the board as well. You know, about a month ago, I believe it was, we had identified some facility issues right before school opened, and I think it has to be said that in the tour, we realized that a lot of those things were remediated and
absolutely
things
looked
very good, and to the credit of our buildings and grounds and our janitorial staff.
To Bernie,
I think they should
and his
be recognized
entire staff,
for that.
Kudos for a great improvement based on what we had seen previously. In large fashion, both interior schools especially looked very, very good.
Right.
So thank you to Bernie and the staff.
Okay, Mrs. Walsh.
And Peg, for that matter.
I would just like to thank Tom for this forward progress. It was overdue, and it's welcomed, and I know you put hours into these maintenance projects, and thank you very much.
I have to honestly say this was a feel-good tour this morning because it was positive. It's taking the bull by the horns, and I think our business administrator would concur that it's a good step for this board to be taking.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, I'd like to open up the floor. Anybody else before I open up the floor? Open up the floor to the second public forum. You may comment on anything you'd like. Yeah, wherever you're comfortable.
Was there any discussion about the class sizes at the elementary school? The PTO wanted me to
come. Mr. Hahn?
I had a number of discussions with the principal. Took a look at the enrollment reports that have generated for this year. And I know the concern was about the third grade class. We do have three third grade sections. Last year there were four second grade sections, I guess. The total enrollment in that grade level is 76 pupils. A decision was made, and I think for good reason, to reduce the number of sections there because that section was needed in another class at another grade level. So what we have is two classes of 25 and one class of 26, and in the class of 26, we do have, it's an in-class support situation, and one of the, there are two teachers in that room. In addition to that, five of those students go out of that class for a double period in language arts and a double period in math, so that at that time the enrollment is reduced in the classroom to 21. 25, as I look back at the history of class sizes in the elementary school, is probably is the high point. You know, they usually don't get that high. If I look at others, in kindergarten, we have 17, four sections at 17. In the first grade, we have two 20s, a 17 and a 19. In the second grade, it's 18, 16, and 18. There are three sections there. In the fourth grade, there are 21s and 22s. In the fifth grade, there are 24s. And sixth, seventh, and eighth, which are departmentalized structures, but the homeroom strike in the low 20s. In terms of, and I know there's an interest in having an additional section at that grade level, there are a couple of things that would make it very difficult to do that. One is, there isn't a room available to do it. We're presently using every classroom in the building. So therefore, even if there were funds available to create another section, we would have to start moving things around that are presently in other areas and create a classroom out of an area that wasn't originally intended to be a classroom. So that's not a very positive thing. And the other, of course, is always budget. You know, PEG runs a very tight budget. We would have to identify funds to do that. It would be very difficult to do it. But I think the fact that there isn't a room available, and there, even though those class sizes of 25 are larger than we're used to, they're not extraordinary to the point where they're out of sight.
Yeah, I think the feeling is that, obviously, I don't think at this point, adding another teacher, you know, we've got other issues that are going to be draining the budget, the money, superintendent replacement, all that other stuff. Got rid of paras. Paras are they're helpful to teachers. When you have a class size of 25, and when we compare, we rattled off numbers of class sizes, but this class size of 76, you know, when we look at kindergarten, it has 68 with four teachers. 76 with first grade, 76 with four classes. Mm-hmm. Second grade, 52 with three. 76. So there's two classes that are equal, if not lower, with four teachers, where we have three in the third grade. And again, adding a teacher probably at this point, not an option, but what about putting a parent in there? You know, when you sit in a classroom, you know, when the third grades are getting dismissed late because to have all 25 of those kids go to get their backpacks and their cubbies and all that stuff is an issue. And we were back there, there were parents physically, not in necessarily our class, because our teacher was amazing, Ms. Gianna, fantastic. Their other third grade teachers, I mean, other parents have come out physically angry that the amount of desks and the amount of kids that were in the space that those students were in. Mm-hmm. But to put a para with a teacher to be an extra hand to help 25 kids who are at all different levels, learning, you know, math, reading, and obviously in the younger classes, they have a much smaller ratio. There's 68 kids with four teachers. We have 76 with three. So to maybe find that money, because we find the money to fund other things, we find the money to, when we need it, we'll find it, get a para in there. You know, as an ex-teacher, an extra set of hands, especially the paras that were, a lot of them cut back and let go in this district, that give way beyond the amount of money that they are paid, day in, day out, per hour, to get in there and just be an extra person to be helping those teachers along with one child or another. I mean, I think that's a feasible option, I would think. If there's no class sizes, I understand that. I mean, if there's no classes to go to, but putting a para in, I think it's going to make a world of difference, because you've got some phenomenal, phenomenal teachers that give 1,000% and have energy through the roof. But that's an awful lot of kids to be going to and helping at that young age. A third grade is a critical year, as I'm sure everybody in first grade, second grade will say that as well. But, you know, not the sixth, seventh, and eighth grade who shuffle around, you know, with those class sizes. This is a third grade class sitting there. Mm-hmm. We're being, you know, it's not the teachers doing a poor job dismissing. It's 25, 8, 9-year-olds going to their cubbies, going to their backpacks all at one time, and now they have to do it one at a time, groups of two, groups of three, because it's chaos in it, and the classrooms are not huge. Mm-hmm. So, the PTO are going, you know, the parents groups are talking about, you know, maybe putting a power in there, if that's financial.
Well, let me look at the way we're using the paraprofessionals we have right now in case there's anything
they cut
that might. I know that, yeah. But I'll
make a lot of money, so.
I'll revisit it with Mrs. Graziano.
Mrs. DePalma?
The two, both my kids, they're in high school now, but both of their years, they were 2 years apart, both had about, I think, 96 in their classes each. And that's a lot, for even four, but it worked. I mean, and that was throughout every year, starting from kindergarten. They just seemed to have, those years had the largest amount of students.
But when we, you know, when we sit there, to go back, you know, Manasquan has a reputation of a good education, and we want to continue that.
Right.
And when we're juggling, you know, finding money to do other things, appraisals, things like that, we find it for that. We find it to replace the superintendent and pay another one on top of that. So, I mean, a substantial amount. To go back and say, well, it was like this before. It's the same argument when people say, well, when I went to high school, we had split sessions.
Well, this is just my son graduated last year. He had 98 in his class.
I think
he did very well.
I think Mr. Mahan answered it though, Heather. He'll revisit it and speak to Mrs. Graziano, and we appreciate the suggestion. We certainly appreciate and hear your concern. Any other questions from the floor? Mr. Bartholomew? Do you want to run that microphone over to the center?
It's fine right here. Rich Bartholomew, 121 Lake Avenue, Manasquan. Quick comment, maybe just a little bit of a complaint and a couple of questions. The comment has to do with the amount of paper that was generated tonight, and there was a lot. And I know we, the folks out here in the public, were ones that in the past had been asking for that stuff so we could have it in our hands when the board was going through it. We're certainly appreciative of the fact that it's there, but it's a lot of paper. And I was kind of thinking that, or hoping that maybe in the future, since I know the board has been pushing hard to make sure that they have all the attachments, I guess it's Friday before the board meeting, and a lot of the attachments, many, many more, are now getting online that used to not be getting online. I, for one, remember that when we were asking for all that paper, there were only about four or five people sitting out here at any one point in time anyway, so it wasn't a lot of paper. But now it is. So I'm hopeful that you'll give some thought to maybe posting a note on the website that says anything that we're distributing electronically on the website, we're not going to put out in the form of paper. Anything that comes up last minute or late, too late to review, I would hope you still would put out paper here. So just something to think about. And this little bit of a complaint has to do with the audit report. When I read the agenda, I noted that the audit report was going to be on it. So I kind of walked over an open public records access request yesterday afternoon. Mm-hmm. And I did it because I saw the audit was on the agenda. I knew the audit was basically a budget report. I knew budget reports under OPRA require immediate access to the information. So I thought I had what was a valid request. Denied. Now it was filled before this meeting started, so I have a real complaint with that. But
it was filled last night. I mean,
okay. But again, this was budget information is immediate request, immediate availability, and I really just don't want to go through that, you know, next time around or when there's budget information out there. It's to be immediately available. It needs to be immediately. And particularly when it's documents of this size that take a long time to go through. I would appreciate if we can get some final resolution. My feeling was that it became a public document at the moment the auditor transferred it to a public official here at the school. If not then, certainly when it got sent out to the board, unless it was in draft form, and I don't think it was in draft form, audit reports usually final one to get distributed out to the board then. So just something to think about. Now, questions on the audit itself. You mentioned that there were four parts to it.
Yes.
There was an introduction that was done here by the school. There was the financial section, which you audited. There was a third section, which was statistics. It wasn't clear in my mind whether you audited those statistics or those are just from the school.
We review them, but we don't certify to them. No, we don't audit them.
Okay, and then, that, and then last section about the single audit is something that you guys know all about.
Yeah.
Just some questions on definitions that I thought I was clear on. You did define restricted fund balances very clearly, so I understand that. The definition of an assigned fund balance is not quite clear. And Peg, when you were talking, you used the word undesignated as kind of an equal sign to assigned fund balance. Is that
to correct? Unassigned, undesignated, so unassigned?
They're the same thing.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Another question I had was, and this might just be the way things are tight, but on a number of these amounts, like the $213,000, $136,000, they say that they're designated for subsequent years, and it's YEAR*S. I assume that to mean that those must be spent in the following year just because of the way that apostrophe is hanging out there. Is that
That's correct?
Mm-hmm. That is correct. Mm-hmm. Okay. There was one other one in there that I didn't write it down. Oh, yes, I did. Section 3, well, this is where I got a little bit confused. Under Section 3, it also talked about the 213,684. And there when it said years, it didn't have an apostrophe or anything. And so I wasn't clear whether that 213,684 was absolutely for next year or for multiple years, but I think you just clarified that.
Yes.
Okay. One other question on these fund balances. As a part of the audit, do you go back each year to the previous year to ensure that when something was designated for a subsequent year, that it did get fully utilized in that year?
Yes.
You do?
Yes, okay. Absolutely.
Okay. And the final question has to do with my favorite number, which I don't have in front of me, but 63,000 and some dollars. And that's not money that has to go back to the taxpayers. I thought it wasn't.
It will next year, 13-14.
Okay, now last time that happened, we had over $250,000 that had been talked about at a board meeting. I'd actually been put on the website that was definitely coming back to the taxpayers. And it did. And I know the case can be made that, well, we needed that money, so we could have given it back to the taxpayers. We could have just taken it back again. But is this $63,000 expected to come back, or is that just going to get eaten up and rolled forward?
I'm a little confused on the one that you said didn't, because it has to as part of the budget program. So when we build our budgets, it's an automatic. It goes towards the budget.
I understand that, but when it originally happened, it sounded like, and I'll put this in the vernacular, it sounded like the district was going to write a check to the taxpayers of Manasquan, $250,000, here you all divide it up among yourselves and take it back. That's what it sounded like.
Oh, no, it's used to support the budget in the following year.
Right, that's what I wanted to understand.
Yes.
So we're not really getting that back, right, except for the fact that we're not getting that much more in terms of the tax increase because you're using it in the budget.
Exactly.
And that's the same thing that's going to happen with the $63,000.
Exactly.
Okay,
yep.
Got it. Thank you.
Any other questions from the floor? Seeing no one, we'll close the floor. Sunshine Law Resolutions. The Open Public Meetings Act, NJSA 10-4-6, allows for the exclusion of the public from that portion of a public meeting when certain matters which might endanger the public interest or risk the deprivation of individual rights are discussed. And the Board of Education wishes to discuss the following matters in a non-public closed meeting, with the resulting discussion being made public when a proper conclusion has been reached and there's no longer a need for confidentiality. Number 3, any matter the disclosure of which would constitute an unwarranted invasion of individual privacy unless the affected individual or his or her parent or guardian shall request in writing the matter be disclosed at a public meeting, HIB. Number 7, any pending or anticipated litigation or contract negotiations other than collective bargaining contract negotiations in which the Board of Education is or may become a party, or any matter falling within the attorney-client privilege to the extent confidentiality is required in order for the attorney to exercise his or her ethical duties as an attorney. Number 8, any matter involving the employment, appointment, termination of employment, and the condition of employment, evaluation or discipline of any specific employee unless the individual employee requests in writing that the matter be discussed at a public meeting, personnel, HIB. Is that correct? Yes. Now therefore be it resolved, the Manasquan Board of Education will hold a closed executive session immediately. It's anticipated that the closed session will not last longer than 45 minutes. Action may be taken during the public portion of the meeting following the recess of the executive session.
You might change that length of time. We have three matters.
An hour?
Longer than 45 minutes. I'd say closer to an hour, 15, hour.
Okay, we'll do an hour, 15 minutes. Okay. It's anticipated that the closed session will not last longer than an hour and 15 minutes. And again, action may be taken during the public portion of the meeting following the recess of the executive session. May I have a motion to go into closed?
So moved.
Thank you, Mrs. Walsh. Thanks for the second. Mr. Campbell, all in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
You want to do Rick and Greg at
this point? Yeah, I don't see the other people first. I don't see them. Yeah, you're going to have to because we have three matters.
They're not here?
I don't see them. I don't see the other people here. Hang on one second, Amanda.
Okay. Well, if you want to still look at it, tomorrow. So I'll post it. Okay. No problem.
All right. Yeah, they should be here, but they were told 7:30, 8 o'clock.
Yeah, all right.
Hey, Rick.
What?
Motion to come back into open session?
So moved. We already did.
Who's that? Thank you, Mr. Bauer. Second? Thank you, Mrs. Walsh. Roll call, Peg.
Mr. Bauer. Mrs. Barnes.
Mrs. Barnes.
Mr. Bauer.
Here.
Mr. Campbell.
Here.
Mrs. Clayton. Mr. Clayton, sorry.
Ooh.
We used to have a Mrs. Clayton, sorry.
I read about that.
Mrs. Degnan-Spang.
Yes.
Ms. De Palma.
Here.
Mr. Fury.
Here.
Ms. LaSala.
Here.
Mr. Shelton.
Here.
Mrs. Verdi.
Present.
Mrs. Walsh.
Here.
Mr. Winterstein.
Yes.
I have a resolution that I would propose that the board adopt. It's going to have to be duly moved, seconded, discussion, and then roll call vote. Is it all right?
Yes,
it?
You may read it.
Yes.
Okay. Recitals A, Geraldine Margin is presently employed by the Board of Education of the Borough of Manasquan and the County of Monmouth. And we're referring to Mrs. Margin as Ms. Margin, and we're referring to the Board of Education as a board. And she's employed as superintendent of schools. B, Ms. Margin is presently on administrative leave and has entered into a separation agreement with the board, the terms of which the board has had an opportunity to review in closed session. C, the agreement will not be effective until approved by the Commissioner of Education of the State of New Jersey, Commissioner. And D, having reviewed the terms and conditions of the agreement, the board does hereby by these presents approve the agreement subject to its final approval by the Commissioner. Now, therefore, it be resolved as follows. One, the recitals set forth above are incorporated into and made a part of this resolution. Two, the board hereby agrees to the form and content of the agreement and directs its president and secretary to sign same and to take any and all other actions reasonably necessary to implement the terms and conditions of the agreement. Three, the board is by these presents accept the resignation of Ms. Margin effective October 31st, 2012. Four, the board recognizes that the agreement and the letter of resignation of Ms. Margin will not become final or become a public document unless and until approved by the commissioner. That's the resolution. If the public wants the resolution, it's a public document if the board approves it. So, I think that this is a motion that calls for the entire board to vote because it affects the administration of the school system, which certainly includes the high school, which certainly includes the sending districts.
So may I have a motion to approve the resolution? Let's say up there.
Resolution dated September 25th, 2012.
So moved.
Thank you, Mrs. Verdi. Second?
Second.
Thank you, Mrs. De Palma. Roll call.
Mrs. Barnes?
Yes.
Mr. Bauer?
Yes.
Mr. Campbell?
Yes.
Mr. Clayton?
Stayed.
Mrs. Degnan-Spang?
Yes.
Mrs. De Palma?
Yes.
Mr. Fury?
Yes.
Mrs. LaSala?
Yes.
Mr. Shelton?
Yes.
Mrs. Verdi?
Yes.
Mrs. Walsh?
Yes.
Mr. Winterstein?
No. All right, I would just add one more time in public session, and Peg, I ask you just to put this in the minutes. This is a confidential discussion that we had in closed session. The resolution itself is not confidential, but the terms and conditions of the separation agreement, or even the fact there is a separation agreement, still is confidential. And it should stay confidential always, the terms and conditions, always, until the commissioner approves it. And even after the commissioner approves it, which presumably he will, and it's done, The agreement says that the board and its officers will not make any adverse statements or any statements, and my recommendation is that you make no statements. If anybody asks anything about anything, whether it's a spouse, brother-in-law, child, friend at the Pathmark, if there is a Pathmark, whatever the local store is, or Manasquan Savings and Loan, the answer is no comment. So, with that...
we're done.
We're done.
Motion to adjourn?
So moved.
Thank you, Mrs. Walsh. Thank you, Mr. Campbell.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye, aye, aye.
Aye.
Thanks, everybody.
What's up with the guests?